Congressman Troy Nehls joins the program. Congressman, thank you for being here. We're very excited to have you. Yesterday, you know, you had to sit through all of that. I know the director did a great job at trying to push back on all of these Democrats who are trying to spin the narrative when it comes to Jeffrey Epstein. Obviously, we all want the Epstein files to be released, but that was a commitment that President Trump laid out. Now Democrats are jumping on board because not everything can be released. Your reaction to the very particular words that they were using when going after the director on this topic?
Yeah, they attacked. Well, it's good to be with you. They attacked the director, I said, unjustly. You saw it the day prior, too, with the Senate, with some of the same old clowns over in the Senate, just attacking, attacking, attacking. And I told Director Cash Patel, I said, the reason they're attacking you is because you're very, very effective. For the first time in a very, very long time, we actually have an FBI director that wants to keep the American people safe. He puts the American people first, and they've demonstrated that with going in and sending the National Guard in every place to whether it's going to be Memphis, up in D.C., we've seen a significant decrease in violent crime. So everything is working, and the Democrats are very frustrated. But we have a very articulate, common-sense approach, director of the FBI would tell, because we didn't have it before with Comer and them. I mean, or Comey. They weren't. And he's released. Cash has said, with Raskin and some of these other nut jobs we have on the left on judiciary, said, I've released over 33,000 pages, 33,000 documents. What do you mean we're not participating or being forthwith with the Epstein case? It's stupidity.
Yeah. Yeah. And they had all these years to demand it. Now all of a sudden they're demanding it. And it's a part of the cover up. And that's why, you know, I truly believe at this point that any of the evidence that might have been incriminating to their allies, their donors, has probably been deleted at this point, erased, because I can't imagine why all of a sudden now they feel inspired enough to ask for these documents. And it's just frustrating to see them use sexual assault victims as their political props at this point, because they didn't ask all these questions when there was individuals coming together and trying to hear their voices, get their voices heard. I'm referring to about Joe Biden and others who came forward and laid out allegations against them. They ignored it. And so it's just very interesting to see how they do this now. But, you know, you mentioned Patel and how he's sitting here outlining what the FBI has been doing. Well, it's funny because the FBI hasn't been doing this one thing, and that's targeting Americans. They stopped doing that under his leadership, and he outlined it yesterday in front of your committee. Take a listen.
Director, yes or no, is the FBI still spying on parents at school board meetings?
No, sir.
Is the FBI still targeting Catholics?
No, sir.
Is the FBI still spying on President Trump?
I don't believe so.
Is the FBI still censoring Americans?
No, sir.
Is the FBI still targeting Americans for shopping at Cabela's or purchasing Bibles?
Nobody is targeted for their faith.
Is the FBI still targeting Americans who are pro-life?
Nobody is targeting anyone for their beliefs.
Is the FBI still cooking the books on crime data?
The crime data is real.
Is the FBI still purging agents for conservative viewpoints?
No one at the FBI has asked their viewpoints on policy.
Is the FBI still labeling the Betsy Ross flag, the flag of the American Revolution, a hate symbol?
No.
Well, maybe that's why you've been able to, what was the number, 23,000 bad guys you've arrested, a huge increase from the same time period in the previous administration. I think you said 1,400 predators, 4,000 children rescued. Were those the facts?
4,700, 35% increase on children rescued.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been doing a great job at that, at least, but they seem to look the other way on that front. So far, though, things are going well for the FBI, although we'll never find out exactly who they've fired because it's personal information that they can't disclose legally. We are hearing that there are some great changes happening within the agency. What have you seen so far that you actually think is a great job that they've been focused on?
Well, I think what you just saw there with Chairman Jordan laying everything out, the FBI is getting back into the business of actually investigating crime, investigating criminal organizations. We should be out there looking at Trendyagua and all these other terrorist organizations that have entered our country illegally that are now preying on the American people. So that's the FBI's job. The FBI's job is to go out there and protect the American people. They have many, 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 many agents out there, but these agents were doing everything but investigating crime. They were investigating the Republican Party. They were investigating people that had a dissenting point of view than what we saw with the previous administration. And so they were working for Joe Biden and the deep state. But that's all come to a halt, a quick screeching halt. And Director Patel laid it out there with the number of arrests. The left is so upset, too. And they don't like Kash Patel. It's quite clear. They have hatred towards Kash Patel because Kash Patel was the one that spearheaded the Russia investigation. And it was all nothing but a hoax. So he's not high. He's not going to get any Christmas cards from any of the members on the left because they despise him for what he did. He's very articulate. He's very intelligent. And he's very effective. And he is so effective that the American people are supporting what the FBI is doing and what the administration is doing with trying to combat the criminal element that have taken over. They've taken over our large cities across the country. And so when we go into Memphis, you're going to see many, many more arrests like you saw in D.C. And the people in those communities, the people that may not have a voice every day, they love what's taking place. They said, we have a president and an administration that puts us, the American people, and our safety first. Yeah. I applaud them.
Yeah, yeah. And that was a campaign promise that President Trump has carried out on. And that is really important. What he's done in D.C. has been absolutely incredible to sit back and watch. Congressman, you have just recently been selected to serve on the subcommittee for J6. Now, there was a lot of questions that have been left unanswered in regards to J6. I know that your office, you are very excited of releasing a statement after this came out detailing what you're looking forward to the most. But we've got a lot of unanswered questions here. What are some of your questions that you look forward to digging into?
Well, you know, when January 6th took place, obviously I had a conversation with some of the rioters at the main doors leading into the House floor. I wrote a book on this. Matter of fact, I wrote a book on it that talks a little bit about January 6th. I know a little bit about it. Leader McCarthy asked me and Jim Jordan and a few others to be on that original select committee. Nancy Pelosi rejected us. It's the first time in the history of Congress a speaker rejected a minority leader's picks to be on a select committee. But you didn't see that with Mike Johnson, though. So we've got five Republicans. We've got three Democrats. Eric Swalwell, Jasmine Crockett. Yes, could we have played the same old games like Nancy Pelosi did? But no. Speaker Johnson said, okay, I accept your picks, Hakeem Jeffries. I accept them. So now we're going to have some several hearings. I can't tell you when the first one's going to take place, but we're going to look to getting into the truth on January 6th. Because Benny Thompson, Liz Cheney, Crying Adam, and all of them, it wasn't about exposing truth on January 6th. The January 6th sham committee under Benny Thompson and Nancy Pelosi was about to destroy Donald Trump, blame him for January 6th, because they wanted to destroy Donald Trump's career. They wanted to make sure that he wasn't going to run for president in 2024 because they're definitely afraid of him. Now, that didn't work out very well, did it? It didn't work out very well for the Democrat Party, and Donald Trump is in the White House. So I and the other committee members are out about exposing the truth. Why was the Capitol so ill-prepared to deal with that day? Why? The intelligence was there. Oh, my gosh, the intelligence assessments that were conducted. You would have said, we need the National Guard here on January 4th already. The National Guard showed up too late. So I think it's important to let the American people hear some truth as to why January 6th took place, what were the problems with January 6th, the deficiencies, and it has nothing to do with Donald Trump inviting these individuals into the building to overthrow the government. It's so far from the truth, but that was a narrative from the left, and it's just not true, and we're going to expose it.
It's just devastating, yeah. Completely devastating. And the fact that those on the left are cheerleading for this is pretty disgusting in itself. Congressman, I want to thank you for all that you keep doing, and thank you for being an incredible fighter in this fight. We look forward to seeing you on the J6 Select Committee, and we look forward to seeing what comes from that. So thank you.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless you.
Be careful who you trust. Play you with fire and get burned.
You just saw an ad for methylene blue. Tell people the short-term effect and then now the long-term effect.
Yeah, it gives you a good energy boost. I use it before I work out. So if I'm going to be doing kettlebell workouts, like I do some methylene blue about a half hour before. Gives you mental focus. I don't crash afterwards. That's good stuff. I need some more.
How fast did it kick in?
About about 15, 20 minutes. I take about a half hour before my workout.
And then you're saying you're almost out of the bottle. Was that 3 weeks ago, a month ago?
Yeah, something like that. You give me the liquid and the pills, too.
You're almost out of both?
Yeah, I'm almost out of both.
Oh, my goodness. Well, all right. I'll give you more. Right. For the audience, we can't give it to everybody. We need your support, theallshows.com. For me personally, the first week I got on it, I actually started to hurt myself because the workouts were so crazy. My trainer goes, dude, what's going on? Like 3 days into it. I go, I don't know. I
like it better than doing like a five-hour energy shot because those will make you crash afterwards. This doesn't have the crash.
So you've had no crash.
Right.
If you'll just try it, you'll be hooked, and we can fund the operation. It's a win-win. Now's the time. Get the methylene blue, bare minimum, thealexostore.com.
I have been in a 28-year marathon battle with a globalist. I have come from nowhere to the very heights of politics, not just in America, but in the world. We are engaging the globalist at point-blank range in the information war. But I don't deserve the credit. Yes, I've persevered, but the listeners and viewers who support InfoWars are the real reason we've had this success. We're having now the greatest victories in the fight against the New World Order we've ever had. We are now entering the final mile of the marathon. And that's why today it's more important than ever to realize how important you've been in this fight and to continue in the efforts you've been carrying out and to intensify them. God bless you all. I salute you. I thank you. And I beg you to intensify what you're doing now because we are over the target and history is happening. The fight is my fight. It's your fight. It's our fight. God bless you all.
Ultimate Life Force. That's the name of the new product. This is hands down the strongest, most powerful spike protein detox out there with triple action, taking all the major best-selling certified safe formulas and integrating it in to just a massive daily dose. And it isn't just to clean out your blood, ladies and gentlemen. It is so good for your whole body. It's got 400 milligrams of NAC alone that is the precursor to glutathione, and just does incredible things for your whole body. Not just that, the energy, the stamina, all of it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're so excited about this formula. I don't have time to get into all the other great ingredients in it. Go to thealexshowstore.com right now and check it out for yourself. This is so game-changing. Lesser formulas have already helped so many people that I've personally bought them for and, you know, given them to friends and family. This is amazing. Get yours now at thealexshowstore.com for 50% off.
My friends know that I usually think everything's a scam, from supplements and products and vitamins. I don't take anything. I usually buy it, try it, don't feel the results, end up tossing it and wasting money. So I love Alex Jones and the InfoWars crew, and Alex kept playing this video of Robert Kennedy Jr. putting some blue drops in what looked like water. And I wanted a way to support the team, so I decided to buy this methylene blue. This methylene blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am. And the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and methylene blue. Get it while you can.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
There's a lot we're going to dive into today, and I'm not doing it alone. Let's welcome to the show Ken Silva. He is the great reporter, editor over at Headline USA, and he does all of the document diving that every other mainstream journalist refuses to do, and he is with us now. Ken, thank you for jumping on with us today. I'm very excited to have you on the program. We just heard from the FBI director, and he's walking us through what his role in all of this was, but the reports are contradicting. It sounds like, according to Daily Mail, it was out to dinner in New York City, and according to the New York Times, that his own agents were withholding evidence from him. So what is the very latest, and what do you make of all of this?
Well, it's great to be here. And not only was he out to dinner, apparently this is a 5-star restaurant. It's called Rouse. And I guess you have to like know the owner. You have to really be connected in order to get a table. So it's not like he went out to Applebee's just to get some quick wings before he hits the New York field office again. I think it's important to note that. Right before I jumped on, I was also watching Cash's interview with Fox and Friends, and he brought up another interesting thing that raises questions. He says that the suspect, Tyler Robinson, left a note that said, yes, I'm planning to kill Kirk if you read this. However, that note was apparently destroyed, and Cash said they were able to confirm the note through, quote, aggressive interview posture, with which I'm reading that as to say, you know, we have a destroyed, shredded up piece of paper or a burnt piece of paper, but somebody told us what it says. So I don't think that is going to stand up in court. I think he's trying to get some good PR before the congressional hearings this week. To his credit, he does say that releasing the photos of the suspect is what prompted the family members to question Tyler if he was the actual shooter. But to me, this isn't like 200 IQ police detective work. Like, releasing a wanted poster is kind of like hundreds of years old law enforcement practice. So if his subordinates were pushing against releasing the poster that or releasing the pictures, then I guess good for him for making like the obvious decision. But I don't think he should be getting, you know, applauded for doing something that a 10-year-old could have, you know, told him to do.
Yeah, Ken, I think they're overstepping. They're overstating what actually happened. And I get it. Like, and I want to be as kind as possible, because I understand that there was a personal relationship here with both the director and Charlie. And so I don't want to sound cruel, but it's really hard to wrap my mind around all of this and then to pretend like this was an efficient investigation. If it wasn't for the father who turned his own son in, I don't think we'd be where we are today, because it didn't seem like they really kind of had a good grasp on all of this. I mean, they're shuffling through individuals who the director labeled as the subject in all of this, and it in fact wasn't. I believe it was the governor also coming out and saying, hey guys, like, stop going after that guy because he's not a suspect. He had no involvement in this. We just wanted to question him. And that poor individual is probably getting threats like crazy. So I think it's irresponsible for the director to do. But then also on the other side of this, I'm thinking, well, there's a lot of people in the FBI who don't like Director Patel. They don't like President Trump. Mm-hmm. So one would think that they might be actually intentionally sandbagging him to fail. And so I think that's another element to all of this. I wanted to ask you about the Discord chat, because I think that's the big one here, too, because Discord itself is saying that there was no planning that was done on their platform. And they're saying that what sounds like with confidence, but we're hearing from law enforcement that there's a lot of questionable things that were sent over Discord. And it's interesting because Discord has been used in other shootings, other terrorist attacks domestically. So that it's kind of easy to understand how this would be happening on this platform, but the company's saying it didn't. So what's the latest on that front too?
Sure. And so, yeah, Discord has been used for discussing, glorifying mass shootings, school shootings. There's these dark groups like 764. It doesn't appear that Tyler was in something like that. From what I've read, this was a group of about 20 people, including his supposed boyfriend, that Lance Twiggs guy, a number of high school friends. And what happened here is, after the FBI released photos of the suspect, some of Tyler's friends were joking, like, Tyler, is that you, LOL? And he doesn't admit it. He kind of is going along with the joke, saying, oh, yeah, I read the bullets had inscribings with anti-fascist messages. I better pick up that rifle and get rid of my manifesto, LOL. So it's like not an admission. It's hard to tell exactly what's going on. Like, the younger kids are kind of ironic about everything. And then I think at one point he jokes like, well, if you guys get the reward, the $100,000 for turning me in, let me get a cut of that. And actually, I think Charlie Kirk faked his own death so he could escape politics and go to Kansas. So it's a bunch of joking around. I don't know if this evidence, like the supposed note he left, I don't think this is going to hold up in court. I think you could argue that he's joking. The interesting thing is that Discord even denies it. From what I read on their official statement, they denied that this took place on their platform. But New York Times said that it reviewed these Discord messages from one of Tyler's friends who showed it to a reporter. So again, there's contradictory messages. The FBI and Discord both have more explaining to do.
Yeah, and can you follow a lot of these types of cases where Discord's used? It's being used, quite frankly, by a lot of left-wing groups, and it's also being used by, we talked to Alex Rosen quite often, it's being used by pedophiles. And so it's interesting to hear whether or not it's being used in this latest terrorist attack. But there's also the left-wing attachment to all of this. Now, we're hearing from the New York Post that there's neighbors who are alleging that there was kind of these strange cars going in and out of the parking lot from different states of where this suspect lived. What's the very latest on the angle regarding any type of left-wing, radical left-wing groups that were linked to the suspect?
You know, I've seen a lot of screenshots where there people are implying this is some sort of trans death cult. I'm sure a lot of people on Twitter have seen the screenshots, like on September 10th, people are saying, oh, something big's going to happen today. September 3rd, oh, something's going to happen to Charlie. I haven't been able to confirm any of those. In fact, I think kind of what people need to realize here, though, is Discord has become heavily monitored by the FBI. I mean, one of the most notorious mass shootings was the 2022 Top shooting, in which a white supremacist named Peyton Gendron live streamed a shooting at a supermarket in Buffalo, New York, where he killed 10 black people. And immediately after that, he had a manifesto about the so-called great replacement theory. And people blame Tucker Carlson, say, you know, talking about white replacement. Oh, you must have radicalized this kid. We had a lot of talks about so-called stochastic terrorism. But the real scandal in that shooting was that when Peyton Gendron put a link to his live video for the shooting in a Discord channel, one of the people who accessed it was a, quote, retired federal agent. The reason I'm mentioning this is because after that, the Biden administration announced that they were going to partner, like the FBI and other intelligence agencies were going to partner with Discord to heavily monitor these chats to make sure these things aren't going on. So while a lot of people are wondering, well, was this chat room, was like this radical leftism? Was this like 7-6-4 theme nihilism? My mind always goes to foreknowledge.
Ken, thank you for all the incredible work you're doing. I'm going to read a story later on in the program that you have up right now over at headlineusa.com. It's a great one about more failures from our FBI. Give Ken a follow on X-Folks.
Hey, Chase, just talking to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effect that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have... you know, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it, and he's skeptical. But I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.